Dean Akwe, and welcome Bill Mackay.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Bill is Senior Lecturer in the School of Architecture and Planning at the University of Auckland, and today we are looking at what he has dubbed the myth of the lack of land. Lead on, sir.
And I have supporting evidence this time as well. So sprawl's a big problem, as I've mentioned before, in big cities and small towns, whether it's big box commercial developments on the outskirts or new suburbs. And you frequently get developers and some politicians regularly calling on councils to free up more land for development. And the reason for that is councils have city or district plans that zone land and the use or activity that can take place on there. So it's rural or it's commercial or housing, and this gets reviewed every 10 years or so. Auckland also used to have a metropolitan urban limit. Now it's called a rural urban boundary. So even though the super city is huge, there is a limit to where the urbanness can be compared to the rural or ecological areas, etc. So developers always blame the lack of greenfield land on this urban limit or zoning, and they say we can't get enough greenfield land, it limits our ability to produce more housing, etc., etc. But is there actually a lack of land? I argue that there isn't. And recently a couple of commentators have said the same. And the reality is that most developers are traditionalists. They like doing what they know, which is suburbs of one-story houses and subdivisions on former paddocks, basically what we've been doing for most of the 20th century. It's easy. They know how to make money out of it. Everything's geared towards that. We also have land banking going on and drip feeding of both sections and suburban houses onto the market to keep prices up and make more money. Most people have heard of land banking. That's when people buy some rural land on the edge of town. They sit on it long term, waiting for the council to zone changes that will increase its value, and then they flog it off. I went to a talk by Professor John Tookey at AUT. This was before lockdown, organised by the Fabians group in Auckland. And he's an expert. They have, Fabians, by the way, have a terrific series of interesting talks. He's an expert on construction logistics and supply chain. He's got a very practical approach. He's very well informed. And he was talking about the realities of development and housing. And he pointed out that very large areas of land, such as those developed north of Auckland, around the Albany area, for people who know that, have had a lot of infrastructure work done on them, drainage, contouring, retaining, and so on, but they're not actually having houses built on them at a swift pace. And he said developers often have land, but they like to drip feed property, whether it's sections or new houses, onto the market to keep those prices up. If there's a glut of property, then, of course, prices will go down, good for the public, but bad for developers' profit. So he says there is a lot of land out there that they've got that is just tucked away for a little while. And similarly, although a much smaller scale, when I was talking about The Block last week, the four houses on the TV series The Block for sale, one agent mentioned to me that new housing developments are generally drip-fed onto the market, but I might be able to get a bargain here because all four of them are being auctioned at once. And in contrast, it's more difficult to drip feed apartments. Once you build a big building, that's it. You know, it's all done in one go. But in the subdivision, everyone's noticed this, you can do it bit by bit. And the second commentator is Mark Todd. He co-founded and runs Occam, developers who I think do good work in medium-density apartment buildings in Auckland, not to be confused with the horsey guy, the famous equestrian Mark Todd, a different Mark Todd. He's very outspoken, and in a recent interview, he talked about Occam's strategy of medium-density on brownfield sites, that sites in Auckland, on the isthmus. And he calls that urban regeneration. It's land that's close to shops and public transport. And they've been, Auckland have been quite innovative with shared communal facilities in some of their buildings, no car parks in some, which actually greatly lowers the costs. And they've had no problem selling those apartments. And they even build for rental as well as building for sale. And he's very critical of the traditional methods of developers and greenfield developments as well. And he says the so-called lack of land is just, and it's a big quote here, but it's a good one, just propaganda driven by the land developers that say you need to release land to mediate housing prices. That's just not the case at all. I'm a real believer, this is Mark Todd talking, in creating what we asked for in the Auckland plan, which is a quality compact city. Auckland like to be real advocates for that and lead by example to show that's how you build a quality compact city and stop this narrative that sprawl is good. This is still Mark Todd talking. It's not good for anyone, he says. It's not good for families. It's not good for mental health. It's not good for our carbon footprint. The only thing urban sprawl is good for is lazy, old-fashioned, large-scale land developers.
Ouch.
So he's of course, a bit bolder than I am.
Of course, yeah. Scarcity and value go hand in hand. The question is, why is there not some kind of intermediary? And this comes back to the sort of sanctity of private property ownership, isn't it? I've heard murmurings coming out of the government from time to time that they would move on people who land bank. Have we ever seen any such thing happen?
Well, I'd love to see that happen. There's a whole lot of other radical things I'd like to see happen as well. But the fact is, people often talk about the sanctity of private land, but we've had cities for millennia on our planet, and they are always organized for the common good. So your house has never been your castle. There have always been rules about all sorts of things when we all get together in a cluster, like a city or a town. The key thing for me, I'm saying is, and Mark Todd is saying as well, there's plenty of brownfield land around there in cities, in towns. I've talked about empty city central areas, city centres before. And some people say, well, why don't we find a chunk of bad land and build something on it? Well, when I was going to high school in Hastings, in the 60s and 70s, Hastings did that. They built the satellite suburb of Flaxmere, and they built it, we subsequently found out, on the Gimblet Gravels. Mm-hmm. Great for grape growing. So my key point is, with climate change, and all sorts of things, in the future we're going to be growing and farming different things. Carbon, as we heard earlier today, mm-hmm. oats, as we just heard. So we need to husband our greenfield land a lot more and not sprawl onto it, because we don't know what we're going to be doing with it where in the future.
Really good point. Now, something that might be a follow to this, I was reading an article, I think, on stuff.co.nz again at the weekend about this GovTech kind of accelerator thing, you know, that's all about bringing, it's been adapted actually, instead of bringing private sector techie, you know, sort of sprint types to problems, it's actually bringing public servants together to sort of do what could be described as a massive brainstorm. But what caught my eye was one proposal out of this, and it was a Wellington City Council employee saying the answer to the housing problem is in Wellingtonians' backyards. 30,000 homes could go into subdivided or an extra house at the back of their current house. Mm. And her recommendation was, of course, as always, how would you cut through all the red tape, make it something that is doable and feasible, not just for developers, but for anyone who wanted to do it? Might be worth following up on that. She's got this idea of an online portal that simplifies the whole consenting process. I've seen one or two of these out. I saw one pop up in central Wellington, in a leading suburb in central Wellington, price-leading suburb, and it's sold with a mezzanine floor for a bedroom for over $1 million. So that's the situation we're in right now, Bill, but it's a fair point. I mean, most people would just find this just too damn hard and potentially not even break even, let alone profitable. So why don't we have a look at that one down the track?
I will do that.
Always a pleasure. Bill McKay,